Well, good evening again. It's good to be here. It's good to greet you again in the name of Jesus, the one that we have worshiped this weekend. And I trust we've drawn closer to. And I want to thank you as a church for your kindness and for your hospitality and for your warm welcome. It's been really good to learn to know some of you better, and I've enjoyed very much the conversations that I've had after the service and in your home. So God bless you for that. Turn back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 3 is where we'll be taking our text tonight. Tonight is a little bit of probably a different message, maybe not something that you was planning on or thinking about. And I trust tonight you can feel the burden that I have. This is something, again, I have seemed like I have preached out of needs in my own life to you this weekend. And I trust that you can bear with me as I grow and as I discipline my life to be a better Christian, to be a better person, a better husband, a better father, and a better leader. The inspiration for this message comes some time ago. I was busy working. My phone rang. It was a friend of mine from our community there in Lake Butler. He was calling me, and I didn't have time to answer. He left me a message, and this is what he said. I didn't need anything. I just wanted to call and check on you and to tell you that I appreciate you. I don't go to church with this man. He's not got my last name. He's not related to me. But he valued me as a person enough to call me and to check on me and to tell me that he appreciated me. The Greek word parklesis, I'm not sure if that's how you say it, is used 29 times in the New Testament. And it carries a variety of meaning. But the idea we get from it is encouragement or exhortation. That's kind of the theme of the word. The dictionary would define it as exhortation, admonition, and encouragement. It also goes on to say something that affords comfort or refreshment. And it's been said that if we learn the study of this word, that an encouraged Christian is a positive, functioning member of the body, but that a discouraged Christian often is a malfunctioning member of the body. One day in the winter of 1864, an old Quaker lady visited President Lincoln at the White House. And the story says she took the hand of the harassed man and said, "Friend Abraham, thee must not think thee stands alone. Back where I live, we are all praying for thee. The hearts of all the people are behind thee, and thee cannot fail. The Lord has appointed thee. The Lord will sustain thee, and the people love thee. Yea, as no other man was ever loved before, does this people love thee. Take comfort, friend Abraham. God is with thee. The people are behind thee." It says that those who were present and witnessed this scene remembered for long years afterward the relief and glad radiance that came to Lincoln's face. The story says the great man straightened his body, and with tears in his voice as well in his eyes, he said, "You have given a cup of water to a very thirsty and grateful man. You have done me a great kindness." I'm not here to promote former President Lincoln or his character. I'm here to talk to you tonight about encouraging each other. It's been said that the church should be a nursery for the young, a hospital for the sick, a staging area for battles, the rallying point for the faithful, the shelter for the weak, the springboard for the strong, the rest for the weary, a tempering for the energetic, but most of all, the church is the body of Christ. Tonight, the title is A Passionate Pursuit of Encouragement. You know, there's no one here, there's no stage of life here tonight that does not need encouragement. Young and old, the need is universal. The leadership here tonight at Dublin Mennonite need to be encouraged. Not one of these brethren run for the office that they have tonight. Yet the Bible says they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Deuteronomy 3, verse number 27 and 28. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Verse 27, here we have the word of the Lord to Moses. God is telling Moses that he will not go over Jordan because of the disobedience of Israel. But he tells Moses to encourage Joshua, to strengthen him, and he would cause them to inherit the land, the promised land. We know the story well of the journey out of Egypt and the 40 years in the wilderness. There was a charge to encourage him and strengthen him. Tonight, we all find ourselves a part of a church. You and I are still in the wilderness, so to speak. We have not crossed Jordan yet. We need encouragement in our lives. Yes, at times we need it desperately. The word encourage is found only four times in the Bible that I could find, and two of those times are in Deuteronomy, and both are directed to Joshua. We're going to look to the book of Hebrews tonight at a command for us as we think about encouraging each other. What is my duty to the brother and the sister that I go to church with and sit beside on the bench according to the Word of God? Are we fulfilling our place in each other's lives this evening? Will someone cross Jordan because they were encouraged and strengthened by those in the church that they were a part of? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse number 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Acts 11, we have a couple of more verses. Building a bit of a foundation here for encouragement, for exhortation. Acts 11, 22 through 24. The Bible says, then tidings of these things come into the ears of the church which are in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Did this exhortation that we read about here, did it have anything to do with the people that were added unto the Lord? Barnabas' name means the son of consolation. Or maybe that, I believe that's a synonym of the word encouragement or exhortation. Tonight, are we a church that is excited about pursuing with passion encouragement across the board in our churches? And we want to continue in Hebrews chapter 3. And study a few more things out of this verse. Hebrews chapter 3. Are we serious about encouragement? Is it necessary? Is it vital? And how do we put it in practical shoe leather? So what is exhortation? What does it mean to exhort someone tonight? From what I understand, it means to strongly encourage. It means to urge someone to do something. And I believe sometimes we miss it in the thing of encouragement, because sometimes we may say something to somebody and not really mean it. When we exhort somebody, We mean it. We dig in deep into their life and we exhort them. Another word in the Greek, it means to call to your side. When we exhort someone, we call them to our side and we walk with them through anything. When we exhort someone, we travel with them on the journey that they are on. So the question comes to me tonight, how is my daily exhortation in my life? Do I have plans on my calendar that allow me to reach into the lives of the men and women in our church? Do you and I have plans that allow us to stop what we're doing and take someone for coffee? Leaders tonight, when you pick your phone up and call one of the young men, do they say, yes, we're going to lunch? Or do they say, oh no, what have I done? We need exhortation. We need encouragement. We need that bond with each other. Barnabas exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. No one is exempt. This is a universal call again. Each one here today needs to be involved. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 10, 11, and 12. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. And as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Notice the burden of the exhortation and the comfort and the encouragement that they would walk worthy. Fathers and mothers tonight, leaders, young people, men and women, we have a call to exhortation. Are we heeding that call? Is there more that we should do and more that we could do in the lives of each other? Why the need? Why is it so important to follow this teaching? If we go back to the verses that we read previously, it says, exhort lest any one of you, universal, be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're in a battle, people. We're in a battle for our souls. We need to encourage each other. We need to exhort with purpose of heart. We all cleave unto the Lord. We need to exhort so much more as we see the day approaching. And we need to exhort that we walk worthy of God. 1 Timothy 4 verse 2 says, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I think this carries it to a deeper level. We need to exhort with an open mind or with an understanding, with forbearance, depending on who we're talking to, depending on where they're at in their journey. We need to exhort in a way that is instructive and teaching and always in agreement with the doctrine of the Bible. We need to reach into and be involved in the lives of each other daily. And this could be different ways for different people. One of the ways the Bible says is to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, this word bear is pretty interesting. It's pretty involving. It takes a little bit of thought process. But to bear someone's burdens is to lift them, to take the load. That's pretty serious encouragement when you offer to take the load off your brother or your sister. Hebrews 12:12 and 13 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Tonight, as we think about passionately pursuing encouragement, the opposite of encouragement is discouragement. And you know, that is real tonight. If I was to ask for a raise of hands tonight, who all of you have suffered or struggled with discouragement, there's no doubt many of you would raise your hand. I would probably raise both of mine. There are times that the load is too big. There are times that we get down And according to Scripture tonight, a discouraged person is in grave danger. Hebrews 12, verse 3. I'd like to take the time to read that verse. It's very familiar, but Hebrews 12 and verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We all have probably found ourselves somewhere in this verse, needing again to go back to Jesus and what he did for us and what he went through for us to help us understand where we were. Consider him that endured, lest we allow circumstances, realities, perspectives weary us and we faint in our minds. You may be there today. I maybe was there yesterday. Verse 13 of Hebrews 12, lest that which is lamed be turned out of the way. It doesn't happen to all of us every day. Thank the Lord. We must understand discouragement is real and it's a dangerous place to be. When we consider the need for exhortation, the need for encouragement, I believe the Bible is clear that without it, we will die. We need encouragement to live. And that places a great responsibility on you and I tonight. Have we failed each other in the passionate pursuit of encouragement? Do you or I know someone tonight that needs to be encouraged? Know someone tonight that's been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? Remember tonight, as long as there's life, that there is hope. And just maybe words of exhortation and encouragement can melt a hard heart. Point number four, the practical methods of exhortation. How can you and I fulfill this command? How can we do this? How can we be a part of this in our churches in 2026? The busy lives and schedules that we lead. How can we be involved in the daily life of our brother and our sister? Luke 6, verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. You know, tonight, probably one of the best ways you can encourage a brother and a sister is to pray for them. Bring them to God in intercessory prayer, in serious prayer. Mean that you, when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, mean it. Take it to God and commune with God. Prayer moves man's heart and God's heart together in relating to concerns and problems and burdens in any and all matters. I'll never forget, as a young boy, my sister was diagnosed with cancer, and she was in pretty bad shape, and we had a neighbor that committed to prayer. And I remember my dad telling me that she would literally pray till she fell asleep at night. She would spend that much time in prayer. Jesus said that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Sometimes we need to spend a lot of time in intercessory prayer for our brothers and our sisters. Remember, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray without ceasing. Be in the attitude of prayer. Be serious about prayer for each other and for your brother and your sister. The Bible says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The songwriter says it well, I believe. Let us pray for each other, not faint by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and woe. For that home is so bright and is almost in sight, and I trust in my heart you'll go there. We say that's a little bit of a blue and a bleak picture. But you know, sometimes that's how life is. We are discouraged. It does look like a sad world of sorrow and woe. And that's when we need encouragement. That's when we need prayer to come through as a sweet-smelling savor to God that He can rest down on His people. Another practical method of exhortation that I thought about was the story of the Good Samaritan. I don't believe we're going to take the time to read it tonight. But think with me a little bit about this story. What might have happened if the Samaritan would have walked on by and not stopped to help? What if he would have not showed that he cared? And I believe we all would agree that death was probably inevitable if this man wouldn't have took an interest in him. And I believe that, again, adds a serious side to this teaching. We must commit as a church to never walk by a need that is among us. Yes, it takes much wisdom and discernment to know how to help those that are on the streets. The drunk and the addict, it takes a lot of discernment to know how to help them. The slothful and the lazy, it's hard to know sometimes what to do. But members of the body of Christ, those we fellowship with, those who are seeking the way, the truth, and the life, it's not a light matter to walk by them without extending a hand of encouragement and help. Again, the story of the Good Samaritan. What might have happened if the thieves that so cruelly and ruthlessly jumped this man would have found themselves sometime at a young age where someone would have walked with them and encouraged them and showed them the love of Christ? Someone that would have cared enough to invite them to summer Bible school or to church. Someone that would have showed them love in word and in deed. You know, most of us will probably never face a situation quite exactly like the story of the Good Samaritan. But may we be challenged deeply with the thought of who our neighbor is. Who is your neighbor tonight? And what is this second commandment all about? And will it affect whether or not I inherit eternal life by the way I love my neighbor? Also, I believe in this parable that we see love again is the basis for exhortation. It's where it starts. It's the foundation. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One of the ways that we need to be serious about encouraging each other is not only by what we say, but by what we do. When the Samaritan saw this man and he saw the need, it says he was moved with compassion. He was motivated by love. He was spurred into action. And love was a basis for everything he did. 1 Corinthians 13, let's read a couple verses there on love. Very familiar. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. As we operate out of God's love to us and our love spreads out to those around us, may we love not only in word, but in deed. The greatest commandment is love for God. The second is love for our neighbor. Is my love genuine tonight? Is it real? And does it spur me into action as I pursue encouragement in my life? The second thing we see here is he got involved. And back in the story of the Good Samaritan, it says he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Make it personal to yourself tonight. Make it personal to your situation you find yourself in. God is not calling all of us to do the same thing. Some of us can give a little time as a way of encouragement. Some of us can give a little food. Maybe some of us can give a little money. Maybe a bed. But all of us can give something when it comes to encouragement. Be involved in encouraging and in exhortation and in walking with your brothers and sisters. Make that phone call. Write that letter. Send that text message. Go visit that person. Send that card to the grieving person. Go sit down with a young person that is at a crossroad in his life. Take time to visit the elderly and the sick. Tonight at Dublin Mennonite Church, do you know each other well enough that you can sense when there is a need in your brother or sister's life? We need to be open and be involved. It could very well save a life. Jesus said of himself in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." We live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of hurts, a world full of misunderstandings, broken dreams, and broken promises. May we be his hands and his feet, and may we be involved. Tonight, my encouragement to you is live your life in a way that it empowers someone to live for God. It encourages someone to live for God. And then we can do that maybe sometimes best by our life and our conduct and by our words and actions. The story continues here in Luke 10:35. "And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." The Bible says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Could it be that we could be a much better vessel of encouragement if we would simply be able to spend a little bit of money and help someone? Take care of him. Am I willing to spend my hard-earned money on my neighbor to encourage them and give them strength to keep going on? Am I willing to give my slot of time? Am I willing to put it on my calendar to go meet someone, take someone lunch, share with someone in one way or another? And the last way we want to look at tonight of exhortation, of encouraging each other, is found in Hebrews chapter 10. Something I know, that I very much believe in, and I believe you as a church do as well. Very familiar verse, Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What a wonderful place to encourage each other and to be encouraged is right here at church. Gather here with your brothers and sisters. Be here when the doors open. Be a part of what's going on. Be intentional about church attendance and being involved in what's happening. Young people, be at church functions, be at youth games, be where they're, be involved. It is a tremendous place to be encouraged. It is a place where you and I can go and be joined by a fellow member in whatever area you may be struggling with. It's a place where people take care of me, take care of you, they take care of each other. It's a place of comfort and shelter. If you look up the word church in the dictionary, it says it's a religious institution, a place of worship, or a group of worshipers. But you know, tonight, it is so much more than that. What is the church to you tonight? What are you to the church tonight? 1 Corinthians 12, For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. Notice verse 26. That was 12 and 14. Notice verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, how can that be a reality unless you and I take up the challenge of exhortation? In Acts 2, they were with one another on a daily basis. It says they went from house to house in breaking of bread. They spend time with God's people. Prayer meeting, work days, church picnics, cottage meetings. Don't be a loner. It's dangerous. Don't be individualistic. It's dangerous. Don't keep your struggles to yourself. Be involved and be a part of your church family daily. And I don't know how to flesh all that out. You guys are farmers up here, and you probably work from daylight to dark trying to get the crops in. I don't know how to tell you to be involved with each other's life daily. Have a group chat. Have a prayer breakfast. Do something to get together often and encourage each other. Remember, when we exhort someone, we travel with them on the journey they are on. Two more verses in closing. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Tonight, I trust that each one of us is willing to take up a passionate pursuit of encouragement. It's something I feel like I need so much growth in my life. Not every soul will cross Jordan into the promised land that's in this world, but may there be no one that falls away with a heart of unbelief because we didn't encourage them, because we didn't exhort them with all long suffering. Make it personal tonight. Who do you know that needs empowered by encouragement? Tonight, may we each be real, be intentional, and be passionate about encouraging each other. Let's stand for prayer.